Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
I'm Andrew Millen, and you're very welcome back to the Celtic Soul Podcast. The podcast is available across all pod platforms, and you can also hear us on Celtic Fanzine TV. Both the Celtic Soul Podcast and Celtic Fanzine TV are brought to you by More Than 90 Minutes Celtic Fanzine, which first went on sale at Celtic Park 21 years ago. Issue 122 is now available to buy in both print and digital format, and you can get all the details by visiting CelticFanzine.com. A big shout out to BC Services Kentstown County Meath, and in particular the gaffer Brian Cunningham, for his continued support of the fanzine and for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. If you're a Celtic-minded business or a Celtic supporters club and you like what we do and you would like to sponsor an episode of the podcast, the fanzine or the website, please email info@celticfanzine.com. Message us on social media. You'll find us across most of the platforms, or leave a message at celticfanzine.com. Joining me today for chat is Glasgow political activist Tommy Sheridan. Tommy's a former member of the Scottish Parliament and an active campaigner for Scottish independence. Tommy Sheridan, you're very welcome back to the Celtic Soul Podcast. It's been a while since we chatted, so how have you been doing and what have you been up to?
Andrew, it's always a pleasure to join you, brother. As you know, I always try and promote the podcast and everything that you do. The More Than 90 Minutes magazine is fantastic. I just want to take my hat off to all of the work that you do. I think the Celtic family should tune in as much as possible and support the type of work you're involved in. So it's a pleasure to be here. I've been particularly busy with a lot of independence stuff, Andrew. The independence campaign, Scottish independence, has now began to kick off again. And the one thing that's now very, very clear is that we're in a race with Ireland. Because it now looks, I mean, a couple of years ago, I would have said we'll have Scottish independence before Ireland's unified. Now I'm not so sure. I think you guys are heading towards unity as well. I think it's clear the demographic details a couple of weeks ago showed that now looks as though the nationalist community outweighs the unionist community in Northern Ireland or the north of Ireland. So I think you guys are looking to get rid of the British Union as well. But by the way, you're not alone. So is Wales. Because they had a big march on Saturday, over 10,000 marched in Cardiff, which is one of the largest they've ever had. We had 7,000 marching in Edinburgh, and we've got a big demo in Glasgow in Freedom Square and George Square on Saturday, 8th October. And I'm hoping that all listeners who support independence, who maybe be watching the Celtic game in the pubs in and around Glasgow, will watch the game against St Johnstone, and then pour out the pubs and join us in the square and celebrate the cause of independence.
Yeah, Tommy, I suppose it's perfect timing as well to have you on the podcast. But before we get into your political conversation, Tommy, just a quick how happy are you with how the season has gone so far under Ange?
Well, I'll tell you what, Andrew. If you're asking this question 2 weeks ago, then you're given a 10 out of 10, aren't you? You're absolutely flying. We appear to have players who last year, Greg Taylor, one of them, who I thought was a weakness last year. I think he started this season on fire. I think he's one of our most consistent players. And he's now started doing something that he wasn't doing last season, which is making forward passes. Last season, I felt it was always safe, inside, inside, inside. Now he's actually making passes that are splitting defences down the back and letting the forward get in behind defences. So him and Jota, I love Cameron Carter-Vickers. I think the big fella, Moritz Jens, looks great. I think Juranovic has been fantastic. I think Abada, up until the Real Madrid game, was on fire against Rangers. He was outstanding. He was unplayable. I think he had a bad miss against Real Madrid right at the start of the game, followed by a second miss. I mean, what a goal that would have been, Andrew. I mean, look, how good was that? The pass from O'Reilly, the pass from Jota. Abada's in. He's only going to keep it a beat. And goodness gracious, it was like a pass back. And after that, I think his head went down, Andrew. But I thought we competed for the first hour brilliantly against Real Madrid, against the European champions. We didn't look out of place whatsoever. And if Maeda scores his chance, which was so straightforward, when you see it over and over again, he scores that chance, you just never know what might happen. So if you're asking me how I think it's went up until the St Mirren game, I think we were doing brilliant. I think the St Mirren game was a massive disappointment. I think Ange has probably learned that taking Callum out in the middle is maybe a rest too far, because I think he brought in Moy hoping that he could play that role, kept Callum in the team but in a more advanced position, and it just didn't work. We didn't dominate. We didn't have the tempo. We didn't get in their faces. And the truth is, St Mirren outbullied us. They were very physical. I'm not going to have a go at them because they get their tactics to a T. And the truth is, Andrew, on the day, they deserve to win. You can't say. It wasn't as if there was poor decisions or they had a lucky goal or whatever. They deserve to win on the day. It was a kick in the arse for us. And maybe it's a kick in the arse that we needed, Andrew, because hopefully there'll be no more complacency. And Ange might be saying to himself, OK, I made 7 changes against Ross County and you wouldn't have batted an eye because we were outstanding against Ross County. You wouldn't have known that there was all those changes. However, it doesn't always work and it never worked against St Mirren. So maybe in this busy, busy period coming up, this next 6 weeks, I think we've got something like 13 games or something of that order, 12 or 13 games. I think we need to go for a bit of consistency, in my opinion.
And on the backside of that, you know, he went up to Ross County, almost changed the whole team and put in a magnificent performance. So, and I was thinking, wow, what a man. He can change so many. And then, again, St Mirren, just too many players underperformed, Tommy. But, Tommy, just while we're still on Celtic, how's your old podcast partner, Frank McGarvey?
Frank's brilliant. He had a wee bit of a problem a few months ago that really the illness was tummy, and it was quite serious, Andrew. But no, he's back on his horse. He's great fun to do the podcast with. Our difficulty, Andrew, is our cameraman is no longer as available as he used to be. And he was, you know, he does it free of charge. He's now getting paid employment. And we can't compete with that. So it means the podcast hasn't been as regular as we would like it to be. We're going to try and rectify that. I've also started a bloody new course, Andrew. I'm now back at university. I'm the oldest guy at the bloody university. I'm doing a social work, an advanced social work degree. That curtails my time and my availability as well. But we're hoping to make it at least once a week if we can, because there's so much to talk about. And Frank's got so many stories. I mean, he's an absolute fountain of experience and knowledge, particularly when it comes to the forwards. He talks very, very well about the forwards and the forward runs, and he keeps making the point that we're not yet getting the best out of Kyogo in terms of the runs that he makes behind defences. I think we're still a wee bit reluctant to play that ball either over the top or down the middle behind the defences, because he makes, you and I watch the games. If you watch Kyogo's runs, he always does that run where he runs towards the ball, then turns and he gets in behind, and he's so fast. The amount of times he does it and we don't find him, I think we need to try and make that a bigger feature of our attacking play.
And Frank would know a thing or two about scoring goals for Celtic.
Listen, the guy, you know, that's what I love about doing the podcast with Frank Andrew. You and I, we dream about what he's experienced. You know, we would have loved to have played for Celtic. We would have loved to have scored for Celtic. You know, he doesn't just score. He's a member of an exclusive club, and he's got over 100 goals. I mean, that is a very exclusive club for Glasgow Celtic. And also, the thing that I think is important to emphasise about Frank's playing time with Celtic, the 5 seasons that he spent there, wasn't just one team that he was competing against. Dundee United and Aberdeen were dominant in that period. So playing against Rangers was always difficult because they had a good team as well. But Dundee United and Aberdeen were winning cups and winning leagues during that period. So it was a remarkable period in Scottish football when we had 4 dominant teams instead of just 2 dominant teams.
Yeah, a regular occurrence was Scottish teams appearing in European finals.
Absolutely. It was fantastic. You know, I think Dundee United's got that incredible record of being unbeaten against Barcelona. Only played them twice, but they're still unbeaten.
Tommy, staying in the Celtic with your Celtic hat on, you've been very active in your support of the Willie Maley Monument. The fundraising committee in Uri have done exceptionally well, and I know you helped them out with the big gig in Glasgow, the dinner at Celtic Park, which I attended. And it was a magnificent night with Martin O'Neill. And you were also over for the hooli that happened in Uri. And that's the only word to describe. What a night that was. Two different type of nights, Tommy. One you put your suit on for, one you took your suit off for. And maybe put a suit of armour on. It was a wild night in Uri and a wonderful night in Glasgow. So I'm hearing now, Tommy, that there's a day set for the unveiling of the monument.
There is a date set, Andrew, and because, as you know, I'm just back for university. I've been in university all day, and I don't want to get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's the 15th of April. I think it's Saturday, 15th of April, 2023. I know they were trying to get it as near to Willie Maley's birthday as possible, but the date is definitely be set. If that is wrong, please go on to check the Willie Maley Twitter account, and you'll be able to find that in detail. But the guys and gals who have been involved, the brothers and sisters who have been in the Willie Maley Memorial Committee, have done an absolutely incredible job. And by the way, the same type of job that those who did the Bobby Lennox statue, those that are doing the Billy McNeil statue. I mean, the work that Celtic fans do in and around Celtic and the whole Celtic culture, it's just incredible and absolutely fantastic. But they've reached the stage now where they have the money in the bank, they have commissioned the statues, getting made as we speak, and they've got the date ready. I think they're going to have a big, big night in the Canal Hotel, I think they've booked. So there'll be a massive night. I think we're going to have a wee march with foot bands and things to the statue. We're going to unveil the statue and then we're going to have a wee night in Newry. And it will be a fantastic night, a fantastic achievement, and it will be there forever. You know, it's an everlasting memory for Newry of the birthplace of one of Celtic's most important individuals, Willie Mealy. You know, we sing about him every weekend. It's only fitting that there is a statue of him in his birthplace.
Yeah, Tommy, I think that's 15th of April. I'm just looking at the Twitter account here. 15th of April, and it is...
15th of April, I got it right. That's what I said, 15th of April.
And there is a function in the Canal Court, and tickets are £15, and they're available from the committee. And there'll also be a speaker on the night, which I'd imagine might be you, Tommy.
Well, I think there's going to be a selection of speakers. I know the committee have been on asking us to go over again, and we're certainly, myself and two other guys, Shuggy and Stephen, helped. Well, the three of us got together and we pushed the big dinner dance. I couldn't have done it without the two of them. They were fantastic. The committee's asked the three of us to come over. So I certainly hope we can all make it. If we could say a few words, I'm hoping, and if he's listening, Martin, on the night, Martin O'Neill was tremendous in the dinner. As you know, you were there yourself. He was fantastic. And he said that he wanted to speak at the unveiling. So we're hoping that Martin will speak at the unveiling as well, Andrew, which would be very fitting to have one of our managers from the north of Ireland speaking at the unveiling of a statue to the very first manager that we had who was from the north of Ireland as well.
Oh, fitting tribute it will be, Tommy. Tommy, I got a message off you after your friend Coolio passed away. An unusual friendship, Tommy, for a left-wing political activist from Glasgow and a rapper, a world-famous rapper from the States. But Coolio, Tommy, you met him in the Celebrity Big Brother house, a place I've never been. But I did watch both of you in it. Just take us back to the time when you met him, your thoughts, thoughts on him, how the friendship grew, and what a loss he'll be.
Andrew, it's a shock and a half, pal. It really is. I'm still getting to grips with it because he's 59. You know, he was only a year older than me. And what happened in 2000, January 2009, I was involved, I was invited to take part in the Celebrity Big Brother show. And I made no bones about it. I told everybody at the time I needed the money. I was doing a law degree. I got offered to me a substantial amount of money to take part. So it was a no-brainer for me, Andrew, to take part in it. Obviously, it was a bit of trepidation. You don't know who else is going to be in there. But I had an absolutely brilliant time. I was in the house. It was only on for 21 nights, that particular series. And I managed to last 18 nights or 19 nights. I went out in the weddings, that's right, 19 nights. And two of the guests, one was Wee Vern. So some of you will remember Wee Vern, Wee Mini Me, who was a great wee guy. And unfortunately, he's passed as well a few years ago. Another was Terry Christian from Manchester, who used to host the show The Word, which, you know, growing up was a brilliant show. It was always on the edge. It was a very popular show and something that I used to enjoy. And then we had Coolio. And when you meet the guy, he's just a larger-than-life character, Andrew. As I've said to everybody who's asked me, he's the type of guy that when he enters a room, he dominates the room. He just dominates it. He just fills the room with joy and laughter. And he was just a brilliant guy to be around. And me, Vern, and Terry, and Coolio, we made up a wee team during the Big Brother. We used to pal about. For anybody doesn't realise it, although you see the Big Brother and you think it's got these tasks, there's hours and hours and hours of doing absolutely nothing. So there's loads of time to talk and chat. And there was one incident in particular where this sort of made Coolio's mind up, was that he wanted to visit Parkhead. I was in the celebrity Big Brother toilet, or it was a bathroom, big area, and I was in.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And there have been some exercises, and LaToya came in, LaToya Jackson, she was also one of the guests. And Coolio knew LaToya for America, as did Vern. But LaToya came in and she started talking to me, telling me all about her life. And Big Brother then says, this is Big Brother. LaToya, for the next 5 minutes, you must repeat everything that Tommy says. So I thought, oh, well, I'll have a wee bit of fun with that. And I sang Flower of Scotland. So she had to sing Flower of Scotland. And then I thought, oh, the hell with this. I know I'll lose a lot of votes in Scotland, but what the hell? And I sang Hail, Hail. And of course, LaToya had to sing Hail, Hail, the Celts are. And of course, what then happens? Well, she's singing it loudly. The bold man Coolio puts his face through the door and says, hey, man, what's that song? What's that song? I want that song for the LA Lakers. He loved it so much, he wanted to commandeer this song. He thought it was brilliant. And that then led to the discussion about this being a fundamental song, a Glasgow Celtic, and how brilliant Parkhead was, and he had to come and visit Celtic Park, and he promised me that he was going to do it. So we got out on the 21st of January, I think it was. I got out on the 19th and the show finished on the 21st. Within days, I think within three, maybe 4 days, Coolio, I was in the house because we hadn't seen the family for about 3 weeks, obviously, because I was down in London, and I had all my family in my house in Kirkdonald. Gail had made her lasagna with everybody in. Phone goes, Andrew. Hey, Tommy, what's up? I says, oh, how's it going, mate? How's it going? Bro, he says, I'm in Glasgow. I says, what? He says, yeah, I'm in this hotel, the Jewelry Hotel. He says, come and get me. Come and get me. I'll come and visit you. I says, you're kidding me. I says, no. So that was it. I'd taken the phone call in one of the rooms. I was next door, and I says to Gail, who's always lacking confidence about her cooking, and she'd watched Coolio on the show, being an absolute master chef. He was a brilliant cook. He cooked loads of stuff during Celebrity Big Brother. Yeah, apparently, he's got his own cooking show. And I went in and says to Gail, I says, Gail, have you any lasagna left? She says, yeah, there's loads of. She says, oh, that's good. I says, we've got a new visitor wants to come and taste the lasagna. She says, hey. I says, oh, Coolio. You could have picked her up after the flare, Andrew, you know. So I drove into the town, 5 minutes into the town, brought Coolio back. And, you know, you would have thought he knew everybody. Because within 10, 15 minutes, he's just talking to everybody. And all my family, my sisters, my dad, my mum, my brother-in-law, sister-in-law. And he loved the Wayans. There's a wee picture I put up on my Facebook. My wee niece, wee Abigail, they were only tots at the time. He's got them sitting on his knees, getting pictures taken of them. I've put pictures up on my Facebook and my Twitter pages of that. He just loved them. He loved the kids. He was so gentle with them. He was brilliant with them. He was brilliant with the rest of the family. And after hours of being in the house, we also had a wee game of poker as well. He loved that, and then the game of Scrabble, because he said he was a good Scrabble player, and I put that to the sword because I absolutely dubbed them at Scrabble, because after all the times I've spent in prison, you end up being quite good at Scrabble. So I gubbed him at that. But what happened is, he says to me, "Tommy, I better go." I says, "I no problem." I said, "Do you want me to drop off?" He said, "Yeah." I was supposed to open, I can't remember the name of the club, I think it was Bablos or Bablo or something in the town. The reason he was in Glasgow is he'd been brought up to open this nightclub, this new nightclub. He was supposed to be there at 11 o'clock and it was now back at 12 midnight. He was still there. So I had to drive him up into the town and get him to the club, and he opened up. And since then, he's been back at my house several times thereafter. Every time he's in Scotland or Europe, he always contacts us, and he managed to come to one particular time in 2017. Andrew, he contacted us to say, Tommy, this is probably, I think it's the Wednesday of this week, and he calls me to say, "Tommy, I'm coming to Glasgow on Saturday." I said, "Oh, great, that's brilliant. Can we go to a Celtic game?" I'm like, "Oh, for God's sake." And it was against Hibs. We're playing Hibs at home. Brendan Rodgers was still there, as you know. And I'm saying to myself, "Oh, for God's sake, leave it with me, mate, leave it with me." So I contacted somebody I knew, big Tommy Melville, who owns a couple of pubs in the town and clubs. I said, "Look, any chance you could see if you could get some hospitality? I've got Julio here, want to come to the game?" And I said, "Oh, leave it with me, leave it with me." But then I was speaking to another guy, boy Jerry McDade, who does some work with Celtic TV, and he says to me, "Tommy, they're always looking for people to do the halftime draw." He says, "Have you thought about contacting them and seeing if they..." I says, "Ah, okay, who should I call?" And it was a guy, I think it was Paul Daly, that I phoned up. And I says, "Hi, Paul, Tommy Sheridan here. How's it going?" I says, "What about Saturday's halftime draw? Have you got anybody yet?" And he says, "Actually, no, we don't have anybody." And I says, "Well, what about the one and only gangsta in Paradise coming to Paradise to do the draw?" He says, "What do you mean?" I says, "Coolio." And there was a silence till the end of the morning. I says, "No, I'm serious." He says, "You're kidding me?" I says, "No, he's coming to Parkhead on Saturday. Do you want him to do the draw?" He says, "Give me 10 minutes. And okay, he went away and I spoke to whoever I had to speak to and come back. He says, "We'd love him to do that." He says, "There's two tickets to go with it." I says, "A beauty." Meantime, Thomas Melville had already got his three tickets. So we managed to get Gail and Gabriel a ticket. We got Coolio a ticket. And then, obviously, we went to the game. And Andrew, it was like a kid at Christmas waking up to presents under a tree. When we walked up the stairs and we were in the main stand, right looking over at the Green Brigade, you know, he just... absolutely loved it. He was in awe of the whole thing. I mean, outside, I have to say, before we got in, it took us ages to get in. So many fans wanted photos with him, and he loved all of that, and he was great with all the fans. He was stopping big photos. But then when he got inside, absolutely brilliant. So then when it came to the going up to do the draw, I did say to him, I said, "Now listen, mate," I says, I'm not particularly well quoted with the board and all that stuff. So don't mention me, and you better not mention the Green Brigade either," I says, "because sometimes there's a wee bit of tension between them and the hierarchy at Celtic." He's like, "Oh yeah, no problem." He goes down to the interview. I think it was Mark Wilson was there, and can't remember his name. And of course, what does he say? He gets asked, "So what are you doing here?" And he says, "I'm here with my homie, Tommy Sheridan, and I'm here to see the Green Brigade." Of course, it was absolutely brilliant. So listen, mate, he loved Celtic. He loved the Parkhead. He ran up and down the ground that day. He talked about it for years afterwards. When he sent his messages for 17 onwards, he always finished with "Hail, hail." He just loved it. And to hear of his passing, Andrew, it's just a shock, mate. He was a beautiful guy, and what a talent. And you know what? he'll never be forgotten. And after coming to Parkhead, he'll never walk alone either.
And R.I.P. to Curlew. I remember those images. I was at the game, but them images flashed around the world as well. So what an ambassador he was for that short time. He was in paradise, the gangster in paradise. Tommy, I can't have you on the show without talking about the political landscape. You've spoken about where the big Scottish independence rally that's coming up. But there's also a new Tory leader, Liz Truss. There's worker strikes. And there's also the emergence of a strong union leader in Mick Lynch. So, Tommy, come on, give me a 5-minute comment now on the political situation in Britain.
Andrew, it's a matter of nature, isn't it? That every action causes a reaction. And you now have, we thought, didn't we? We did think that we'd scrape the barrel with Boris Johnson. We thought he was the worst we could ever get. He's an absolute buffoon, a lying, deceitful rotter, totally rancid. You couldn't believe a word that came out of his mouth. And you thought to yourself, well, we never voted for him, but that's the worst you can get. And then lo and behold, you've now got Liz Truss. You've went even lower into the sewer of political deterioration, the decrepit. This is Britain. The British Union is disintegrating before our eyes, Andrew. The idea that these are the representatives of the British Union now show you how disintegrating they are. And from my point of view, they are attacking workers, they're attacking public services, and we don't just have Mick Lynch, we don't just have Eddie Dempsey for the RMT, we've got Dave Ward in the CWU, we've got Sharon Graham in Unite, we've got other good local trade union leaders who are saying, as the campaign's been launched, Andrew, enough is enough. That's the campaign that's been launched. It's got over 500,000 people have affiliated to it, and as well as the struggle in Scotland for independence, there is a struggle against cuts in wages and conditions that has led to massive strikes. I was on the picket lines last week talking to a lot of young boys who are now relearning some of the traditions that my mum and my dad talked to me about in terms of trade unionism, sticking by the workers, picket lines, never becoming a scab. All of that is now becoming part and parcel of life for a new generation of fighters, Andrew. And I'm absolutely convinced that the working class are now up and fighting. They're off their knees at last. And they will not go back onto their knees. Mick Lynch himself said that. He said, we're fed up being on our knees. We're not going to live on our knees any longer. And I think that's vital, Andrew, that the working class say that we're going to fight. Because as he said himself, if you're not bargaining, you're begging. And I don't think we should be begging. It's all right for them. They're getting their offshore accounts. They're getting their bankers' bonuses. And all we're getting is food banks. Well, that's just not good enough any longer, Andrew. And that's why there's going to be a massive battle this winter. And I believe the trade unions are going to win.
Yeah, Tommy. Glasgow is not different from the town I'm from. It's a bigger city. But you know, you see people being fed by decent people who make pots of stew and go down and feed the homeless people in the biggest town in Ireland. But it's a sad case. But we walked through. We were in Glasgow for 4 days for the Ireland Scotland game, Tommy, and we had a great time. And we were walking regularly. We were staying in Hope Street, and we were walking regularly through under the bridge, and you know, some of the younger lads, maybe it was the first weekend to go on day trips, but they wouldn't really experience Glasgow. And they were going under and everything. And a couple of days later, a picture flashed up and one of the young lads sent it to me. And he said, is that the bridge we were under? And I said, yeah, that's Central Station. And there was this line of people, you know, getting fed. And he couldn't believe it because, you know, there he was in the city enjoying himself, you know, and all it goes with, you know, a weekend away with your friends. And then, he actually noticed that this was where he was. And I think people, especially young people now, Tommy, are becoming so aware. They're not just accepting, you know, this is what it is. They're starting to say, well, hold on a minute. They're starting to question things. And I think that's a real positive within the younger people.
Definitely, Andrew. The most important question that young people have to ask is why. Why is there so much wealth cheek by jowl with so much poverty? Why the salary is so big for bankers but so small for nurses? Why do we have carers and other public sector workers having to rely on benefits and food banks? That Healman's umbrella, as it's known in Glasgow, the bridge that you're talking about, hundreds, literally hundreds, every single night are fed. And by the way, that's a charitable organisation, it's a voluntary organisation that feeds the homeless. I know a number of the people who are involved in that. It's one of those campaigns that you support, but you don't want to support because it shouldn't be necessary, Andrew. In a city like Glasgow, with the wealth that it's got, why do we have so many people needing to be fed in the street with soup and blankets? It's unacceptable, mate. That's what it is. And I just hope so many more young people say, no, that's not our future. We're going to make a better future. And I've got to say, mate, I'm sorry if it sounds like a broken down record, but it's one of the reasons why independence is so important to me, mate, because I want to break the British Union. I want Scotland to be an independent country, and I want that independent country to wage war on poverty and inequality, not on ordinary people thousands of miles away in different countries.
Tommy, I'm glad I got that from you, because you always speak so passionately about politics. And indeed, it was just great to hear about, you know, your time with Coolio, and what a wonderful person he sounds like, you know, just a down-to-earth guy who was, you know, who could have just come out of that house and went, yeah, you know, I'm back doing what I do. But he decided to come to Glasgow on a numerous occasions. And also, you know, the podcast you do with Frank McGarvey, excellent podcast, folks. And if you get a chance to listen to it, it's on YouTube. The Willie Mailey, which I'm involved in, great to talk about that. And always great to talk about Celtic. Tommy Sheridan, thank you so much for your time. And hopefully we'll get you back on maybe, you know, down the line so we can get an update on Scottish independence.
Brilliant, Andrew. It's always a pleasure, brothers. Hail, hail.
You're a gentleman, Tommy. Thank you so much. Once again, thanks for listening, folks. Thanks to Tommy for joining me for a chat. And if you're listening on Celtic Fanzine TV, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and you'll never miss an episode of this podcast, Talk from the Terrace, and all our video content. And once again, thanks to Brian Cunningham for his continued support and sponsorship of this episode of the podcast. Folks, we're back doing live shows. So the next ones take place in November. We'll be in Dublin and Waterford. John Hartson will be our special guest in Dublin on Friday the 11th, when we will be in Peter Brown's Bar in Dublin, and tickets are available on Eventbrite. And on Saturday the 12th, we will be in the Rue Glen Hotel on the Kilkenny-Waterford border as guests of the Portlaoise Emerald Celtic Supporters Club for their big dinner. And joining myself and John Hartson on the night will be another Celtic legend, Lisbon Lion John Fallon. And tickets for that one can be got from Pat or any of the members of the Portlaoise Emerald CSC, and you'll find them on social media. We have about 15 copies left of More Than 90 Minutes print edition as we head for another sellout, so thank you very much for your support. Issue 122, it's available to order from our shop on CelticFanzine.com. We'll also find subscription details, back issues, t-shirts, badges and scarves. And at CelticFanzine.com, you'll also find daily news and articles, all our audio Celtic Soul podcasts, all our Celtic Fanzine TV video content. We deliver free content for Celtic fans across all our platforms, written, visual and audio. And if you'd like to support us, you can do so by sponsoring, subscribing, buying, becoming a member or donating for the price of a pint. And all those details are on the website. Once again, I give it a plug, CelticFanzine.com. So folks, thanks for all your support, not just through COVID, not just last season, but over the past 21 years. We really appreciate it, and we wouldn't have been able to grow without your support. It's a busy schedule for Ange Postecoglou and the Celtic team, and we'll be there to cover the Celtic fans' journey throughout the season. This Saturday, it's Perth and St Johnstone for a lunchtime kickoff before another big Champions League night at Celtic Park against RB Leipzig. We'll be back next week with another Celtic Soul podcast, and you can also catch our Talk from the Terrace podcast on Celtic Fanzine TV, which is our match review and preview show. And also, please follow our Celtic fan journey across social media and on our website, CelticFanzine.com. Thanks for listening. Keep the faith. Enjoy the weekend. Hail, hail.
flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.